Hello and welcome to the AV Forum's Top 10 4Ks and Blu-rays podcast for March 2024. Tonight, I'm joined by Mark Stello.
Hello, everybody.
Simon Crust.
Boobs.
And Tom Davies.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here as well.
I didn't say it this time. I surprised you. Our March 4K and Blu-ray podcast continues our look at providing you with a top 10 of what you should get on disc, and then diving into discussion this time on what the value of 4K. Is 4K worth it? Was the really clickbaity question that I set forth. It's where we draw the line. Can we handle Blu-ray or digital instead for some movies? Do we have to have the latest lavish box sets with art cards? Yes, is the answer to all. You know, and would we ever double dip? Interesting question, because the answer for most of us would be no. But there are some odd ones that have snuck in there. But first, a quick look at competitions, and I'm going to shout out the big ones. You can win a KEF LSX2 LT wireless, a pair of them, hi-fi speakers worth $899. Nice. You can win a pair of brand new Q Acoustics M40 speakers worth $749, courtesy of Peter Tyson. And you can win a Valencia Tuscany XL Ultimate Luxury Onyx, that's a lot of words, cinema seat worth $2,200. There's also a bunch of 4K and Blu-ray competitions in there. So get in there. Patrons, we've got new patrons, yours, Callum Smith and Anthony White, welcome to the club.
Hello.
And bought us our coffee, Chojin, Aqua Deluce, and Mr. Black 79. Thank you. Our top 10 list. So really quickly, Mark, you can tell us your number one of your top 10 Blu-ray list. This is just going to confuse us because it's an entirely different top 10 list, but I was interested in it. I've got it over here somewhere, I think. Somewhere.
Numbers.
Somewhere.
Yeah, very, very...
One percenter.
Very, very quickly. One percenter, aka 1% warrior. It's a very interesting action film. All that it reminded me of as I was watching it was that infamous Bruce Lee quote that basically starts about be like water, because that's what the fighting style is like in this. It's hugely fluid, hugely realistic, hugely natural. It's almost hypnotic, the fighting style in this. The choreography is excellent. The story is interesting, very meta. Yeah, it snuck up on me. It's not your explosive action spectacle that modern action films are. It's something a little bit different. But yeah, well worth checking out, everyone.
You said it was like One Cut of the Dead, but for action movies. And that's definitely piqued my interest.
Mm.
Good. Yeah, nice. In our actual top 10 list, our number 10 slot was One from the Heart, Coppola's reprise version on 4K from Studio Canal. Our number 9 was Kindergarten Cop from Kino. It's not even vaguely in March 2024, but when we reviewed it. Possessor from Second Sight, and lavish box set that all of us but Simon really dig, I think, I believe. Only got the number 8 spot because Simon didn't like it.
Yep. Well deserved 8. Well deserved 8 spot.
Blood on Satan's Claw probably should have been further up this list, but that only got number 7. But we can come back to that. That's 88 films. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I didn't look at the score. I thought you gave it like lower than Possessor. City of the Living Dead from Arrow got number 6. Another recommendation from Mark, though. All of these reviews are on site if you want to read more about them, but it's like been our first top 10 where they've been top pretty much 10 quality recommendations.
Definitely, yes.
And 5, we have Green Room on 4K from Second Sight. Tell us a bit about Green Room, Simon.
I definitely would have put Blood on Satan's Claw.
All right, well, tell us
Green
about
Room
that instead.
The way around.
You know.
You got
Room
those wrong way around.
Green Room is good. Tell us about
Green Room is okay. You know, Patrick Stewart as a maniac wanting to kill people who've seen something they shouldn't do in the back room, the green room of a pub. Looks good. But it's a very flat filming style, and the Blu-ray was fantastic. So the only real difference between the Blu-ray and the 4K is the addition of the Dolby Vision, which gives the colors a little bit more pop. The detail, there isn't very much to choose from. Sound is the same, but there's a boatload of extras on it. It's okay, but personally, I would have put it the other way around. I should really look at these top 10 lists, shouldn't I?
Yeah, it's not like I did this list like a couple of weeks ago.
Couple of weeks, exactly.
It's crazy. I just did it like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I remember there was a. We argued a little bit about it, or at least I saw the argument in the Skype chat about where these things should go. Maybe I should have said something then, but you know, who worries about these things?
Yeah, tell us about Blood on Satan.
Blood on Satan's
Claw.
Is
really want to.
Classic, absolutely classic film. Super, super wonderful. Sandwiched between two fantastic titans of the genre, which is Witchfinder General, started in 68, and you've got The Wicker Man in 73, smack bang in the middle in 1971, is Blood on Satan's Claw. Which should have been a Hammer film because it's everything about it screams Hammer, but it's not. It's another British production, and it's just fabulous. It's fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. And it's been served brilliantly over the years by various 4K scans, but never been released as a native 4K disc. And we now have it, and it's just superb looking, absolutely superb looking. The Dolby Vision on it gives it a really nice, robust colours, super blacks. The mono soundtrack is remarkably good for a mono soundtrack, really quite dynamic, which you would never expect. Loads and loads of extras. Oh, it's just a classic film, and it's got the horror. Do you want me to go full into, or should I just aim people towards the review? Because I went all out on the review. I really enjoyed it.
Great review. Yeah. I really enjoyed reading that review. And I would say of the all of the ones we've gone through so far, I'm going to hedge a bet that this is going to be the first one that Tom would pick up. Would that
sure.
be? Out of all of the ones we've talked about so far?
But also Possessor is absolutely dynamite and sound insane.
Yes.
No,
okay, fair enough. But is and it'll feed into what we talk about later. I got Possessor on 4K digital. I'm not sure I'm stumping up the cash for a 4K Blu-ray, but I think you would get Blood on Satan's Claw, Tom. I think if you didn't have it, you would get it.
We will get into this later. But I have it on Blu-ray and have not pre-ordered the 4K.
There we go. This is how we get into the discussion, like midway through our top 10.
Killing physical media.
Yes, you heard it. Just single-handedly.
That's it. Murderer.
Completely skip over me, keep sticking to my digital copy of Possessor, and everybody lynch Tom. Thank you, Tom.
I'm keeping my New Year's resolution. I said at the beginning of the year I was going to be more. I'm sticking with it. So
we will talk about it later, but I would say that the 4K disc is better than the Blu-ray. And I have both.
Is it better enough? Amityville Horror. Go on, Mark. Tell us.
Yeah, so 88 have not just released the same technical transfer from Vinegar Syndrome's excellent release from September 22. They have gone above and beyond and they've added to it. So you've got the same fantastic native 4K transfer. Colors look a bit hot, but that could just have been James Brolin's tan. I mean, it was awesome. So, yeah. But no, what 88 Films have done is they've added a superb additional language track, the Little Herd original theatrical surround track, which trumps the awful new 5.1 remix and the original mono that was just on the Vinegar Syndrome disc. It even adds an extra 30-minute little featurette on it as well as porting all the other stuff over. So for fans of the film, and frankly, I'm amazed there aren't more, because this was a seminal chiller from my childhood, not helped by the fact I read the book and it frightened the bejesus out of me. But yeah, if you are a fan of the film and you have not bought the now mega expensive Vinegar Syndrome disc, lucky you, because this trumps it. So yeah, get on it, Amityville fans.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not a very good film though, is it?
Shut up,
beautiful people though. Just beautiful people.
I mean, Margot Kidder and James Brolin.
Right. Oh my God. Who wouldn't?
Pursuit, sir.
Yeah.
And so's Brolin.
Starman.
Yes.
Starman. I'd never watched it. Mark sent me his Blu-ray.
And you still haven't watched it.
I actually haven't watched it yet, but I will actually watch it. But, you know, I'm not going to get the Columbia Classics 4K set.
Just for that film.
Well, good, because the Columbia Classics Volume 4 set is stuffed full of bangers, so you get it for all of them. Crazy people. Anyway.
There's only one film I would have got it for.
Starman is ace. It is Carpenter's most heartfelt and emotional film. It is a strangely affecting, almost emotional relationship drama version of E.T. But Carpenter smashes it out of the park. Bridges' performance is great, but Karen Allen's performance is even better. She is just heartbreaking. A superb score. It looks brilliant. Oh, I love Starman. And it's the one, I think, in Carpenter's filmography that everyone overlooks because it feels... one of these films is not like the others, yeah. Which is very true. But in this case, oh, it's all the better for it. It's a lovely film. It's amazing. Everyone should just go and watch Starman. Even if you're, you know, going to have to borrow someone's crappy old Blu-ray or DVD, just go watch it because it's aces.
I'm tempted to pick up the box set later, but honestly, we've got a poll question which directly addresses, do you pick up box sets just for one film? Oh, it's a tough choice, isn't it? That was our number three. Our number two was Wages of Fear for BFI, also not a March title, but we reviewed it in Mark, and BFI very kindly got us a 4K disc, and Simon got to look at it.
Oh, yes, I did. That was a while back. Nice. I thought you said Mark. No, you said March. Right, yeah, so yes, I did. Another fabulous film, edge of your seat stuff. Fantastic transfer, absolutely brilliant transfer. Dolby Vision on black and white film. Oh, beautiful. Grayscale on it is very, very good. Runs as I remember, it's a lot of Dolby Vision on black and white films gives a very, very nice, even gray scale to it. So you've got a very dark, very, very dark black to a very, very white, and it's a very even gray scale all the way through. This one is slightly different. It almost looks too contrasty. It's not, it's perfect, but it runs hot because the place is hot. It's filmed in the desert, so it's a really, really hot place. And the filming style looks like it's hot, and that's the way that the Dolby Vision enhances these visuals, so it works really, really well. Superb. Soundtrack just as good, extras brilliant, awesome disc, awesome film. I mean, I know Friedkin supposedly remade it, although he says it was a reinterpretation of the source novel. You could argue that even he can't match this original. Brilliant film.
I mean, I do love Wages of Fear, but I do kind of love Sorcerer.
I know Sorcerer. I know a lot of people like Sorcerer.
I do.
If you haven't seen the original, I mean, if you started life watching Sorcerer, then you could argue. But
you have to see both. You definitely have to see both. They're very different animals with the same premise. What you probably don't have to see is the Netflix version, which is coming soon, or the Liam Neeson version, which no one noticed, which was the Ice Road. I mean, no. But our number one pick was the film, possibly your most anticipated movie of the year.
I would say.
Simon, Witchfinder General, my God.
Oh, what a film.
A lot of emails to 88 Films about this puppy. Where's my Witchfinder General? Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Yes.
I love it. So I've already mentioned it with Blood on Satan's Claw, the first of the folk horrors. Michael Reeves, who sadly died a few months after this film was made, robbing cinema of a huge talent. He only made three films. This one is absolutely stunning. Just a beautifully shot film with just the starkest horror you can imagine, and getting the best out of Vincent Price than any film that he's ever been in. He's done over 70 pictures at the time of filming this one. Mate, I don't think you can fault it. I certainly can't fault it. I love it. It's a beautifully shot film. The violence is disgusting. disgusting and disturbing. It's based on a true story. Most of this stuff actually happened, fictionalized, of course, but the events happened. The authenticity of the torturing and the killings and the it's horrific. That's what I'm going to say. It's horrific. Unlike the disc itself, which is beautiful, absolutely fantastic. Two versions of the films. I go into a little bit about it in the full review. The versions that are on the disc. The one I'll talk about now is the what they term the UK theatrical cut. Actually, wasn't the theatrical cut. It was the European cut. But we'll ignore all that for now, and we'll just call it. It's the full uncut version. They're calling the UK theatrical cut. Brand new scan, 4K scan. superb looking image. You'd never think it was from 1968, which is a year older than I am. You'd think it was filmed I don't know, yesterday. It looks beautiful. Dolby Vision grade on it, looks awesome. Colors look great, flesh tones look great, the blood vivid. Again, the soundtrack is mono soundtrack. Another stunning soundtrack, actually, really, really good. Loads of dynamism in a mono track. Who would have thought it? And a whole boatload of extras as well. And what a film! What a film! You just get out there. It's just. And I've owned this film on just about every format you can get, and this is absolutely the pinnacle. I can't see it being better. It's beautiful.
And it's interesting in a month where we've got two second sight releases that 88 films have owned this top 10. I mean, they've quite categorically done it, particularly when you're saying that Blood on Satan's Claw should have bumped Green Room by a spot. I mean, they've owned it with basically three of the top five. That makes it. And as Mark mentioned, I mean, this is very horror centric. This is all horror. I mean, maybe not Kindergarten Cop.
Different kind of horror.
For anyone with kids, it's a different kind of horror. Which is worth noting. I'm continuing this run of Netflix articles. We're doing best of all genres, and then we're going to do a compilation with the best overall Netflix movies. It's a short list. But this one is best Netflix horror movies. And it's not the best horror movies on Netflix. It's the best Netflix original horror movies. Just to be clear on that.
That doesn't include Fear Street.
Well, I mean, you know, take it up with Tom. Tom's right here.
Oh, don't you worry.
Okay.
Don't you worry.
Well, you can do it now, or you can tell us about what's coming
to
4K.
We've got other stuff to do. Yes. So 4K stuff. We shall start over the pond in the US. And after giving all of us 4K fans a break with last month's announcements, Criterion US are back with a bang, baby, with their June announcements. Little known film, David Lynch's Blue Velvet, 4K, ooh, mate. The Wachowskis, lesbian noir. Anyone heard of it? Bound. 4K, mate. And of course, well, they're also a bit slow because we've had Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas for a while now. But yeah, Criterion are putting their own 4K version of that out. So boom, Criterion are back. However, we've got to get through this. There are always more dreadfully dull mainstream 4K releases that have lots of people. Ooh, day one. That Frank, oh my God, just put me to sleep. So getting those out of the way. American Sniper's getting a 4K upgrade, as is Rango from Paramount. I do quite like
it. I love Rango. Yeah, Rango's
still
cracking.
But do you know what it's not, Kaz? It's not a great cult film. And why should we talk about those when there are so many cult film announcements? You know, these are the films for people who don't feel the need to write in the forums for every new announcement. Why should this get a 4K release when there are so many more worthy ones that don't? Yeah, it's not for you. These are not for you, peoples. These are for us. Where do I start? I mean, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I know.
Come on.
Coming from Shout Factory in the middle of May. None botherer extraordinaire Harvey Keitel is going to sweatily spluff his way to 4K in Abel Ferreira's Bad Lieutenant from Kino.
Oh, dear.
Don't think we need
to see... like Bad Lieutenant.
I don't think we need to see that much detail, though, of Harvey Keitel, quite frankly. The slightly rubs manga adaptation, The Giver, is coming in 4K from label Unearthed Films. Michel Suave's amazing zombie comedy, Cemetery Man, a.k.a. Della Morte, Della More, with Rupert Everett, hits shelves on May the 28th.
Jesus Christ, when you find these things?
Honestly, I'm not even started yet. Pammy Anderson and general fans of boobs
can get
their 4K freak-on with barbed wire. In Germany.
Yeah, but in a lavish box set with like foldable art. I mean, barbed wire. What?
Best of all, Kaz and I. Yes.
It is a Kaz and I story,
We've got our Roadhouse on again. And have already locked and loaded our super expensive pre-orders for the 90s-tastic Charlie Sheen and Michael Biehn action classic Navy SEALs.
It's like 50 quid a pop for Navy SEALs.
My word. You know who else has probably pre-ordered that? Kevin Smith. Because he loves Navy SEALs. Navy SEALs? Navy SEALs.
Navy Snails.
It's a deep cut there for Clerks fans. So quickly moving back over to this side of the ocean, Eureka are giving us Cynthia Rothrock fans, of which there are more of us than you think, the chance to own her most well-known, if not quite her best works, in China O'Brien 1 and 2, coming as a twin set at the end of this very month. No, we're not in April yet, are we?
Not yet.
At the end of April. Studio Canal are dropping both Train to Busan films on us. One of these films is very much not like the other. So
absolutely, yes.
On the 28th of May, French retailer Fnac, have let slip a whole load of new release placeholders for a load of Warner Brothers films, some of which are excellent, the likes of Pince's Purple Rain, Little Shop of Horrors, and the only decent PTA film, you know it's right, Boogie Nights. While for some strange reason, they're releasing the Nightmare on Elm Street remake in 4K before any of the originals. Why? But lest we not forget, physical media fans.
Oh, James Cameron.
Only James Cameron is releasing films, it seems, these days. And as the fallout continues from Aliens, The Abyss and True Lies, the rumour mill is working overtime, and it does appear that a 4K restoration of arguably his best film, The Terminator. Yeah, you remember that one, the notoriously rough, cheap and grainy film that will likely never look like that ever again. That's going to come at some point on 4K to the end of this year. Yeah. So enjoy all that film texture while you can, people, because it looks like Cameron's one-man crusade to erase grain and organic detail from the history books is continuing at pace. So there you have it. Just a quick reminder, keep an eye over on the 4K forums over at AVF, as our man on the inside, Red Devil 85, seems to know what's coming out before the bloody studios do. So keep an eye on the forum and the threads there for all your latest 4K announcements. Done.
Nice.
Cool. Nice.
Right. Yes or no? Is 4K worth it?
No. Can I go now? Is it time for bed?
Our deep dive discussion is 4K worth it? They're a ridiculous question. I love it. Love it. Click on that.
Like Beatty Harlow.
We're looking at
worth what?
Yeah, exactly. 1,000 minus whatever it costs.
It's worth 1,000.
We're looking at the value of 4K. Where we draw the line? Can we stomach watching on Blu-ray, digital? Do we have to have the latest box sets? I mean, all of the things we like skirted over with early things. Would we ever double dip? I'm going to really quickly talk about double dipping for the discs that I have, just because I was like, no, 4K is like the final media and I've got it on 4K. I don't need another copy. And then I looked at my Heat 4K and I went, yeah, I'd do that again if they got it right. Because it's the rare example for me, and I know other people haven't experienced the same thing, where I will put in the Blu-ray instead. And that shouldn't be the case for one of my top three films of all time. Terminator 2, I think a lot of people would probably investigate another 4K if there was one.
Mm-hmm.
And Cliffhanger, I actually have. This is the weirdest thing. I didn't even realize I'd double dipped on 4K until Cliffhanger. I realized I picked up the release in the States when I was over there. I popped it in the other day. It's got Dolby Vision and we don't, and it looks better. Not so much better that I've been bothered to go in and update the review. I will at some point, but like it looks better enough that there's no way I would put in the old version, which was an interesting revelation. I mean, is it better to the tune of, you know, the target prices that you have to pay and the ridiculous import fees and all the rest of it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how people feel about all of this. We have a number of questions slightly on point here. How do enthusiasts feel about 4K and are they worth it? I mean, the first thing I'd like to do is point out some of the comments we got in the feedback, particularly on YouTube. They're good comments and to the point. Any self-respecting video enthusiast would never buy a standard Blu-ray over 4K.
Wow.
Which has ended our discussion straight away.
yeah, maybe.
Don't buy True Lies, The Abyss, Terminator 2. Don't support that revisionist tinkering nonsense. Half the time, 4K is not worth the premium price, which is exactly what it is. Yes. Yes. And back before, someone has come with a counterpoint. Back before 4K, I would have just streamed it, basically. But now I would never buy a standard Blu-ray, no matter what it was. That's can see.
Two extremes.
Yeah. So here's the first question. Would you ever settle for the Blu-ray or even a digital download of a movie you want? X has responded with no, 4K all the way, 37%. Maybe, not all films deserve need a 4K release, 46%, surprisingly split that way. And yes, the story is key, 16%. So I mean, yes. What do we say? What do we say? We agree with that, don't we?
All of the above.
The Isn't hive it? Mind.
Speaks. No, you agree, Mark. Yes. Definitely would.
Yeah, of course I would.
That'll for a Blu-ray, a digital download.
I mean, probably not the Blu-ray, because for me, the differential in price, you know, I'm
interesting.
I'm lucky in that the my value, I'm able to put. I'm skirting around the issue.
No, here. I agree with you. Basically, if you're going to spend an extra fiver on it, you might as well get the 4K. I completely agree.
Yeah, absolutely. But I will, though, if I'm unsure of a movie, I will quite gladly drop £3 on a digital download and check it out first. And if I do like it, then it's one for the ages, much like I did with Tammy and the T-Rex.
Here's a sidetrack counterpoint to that, though. Where's your cap on digital? Mine's around a fiver.
Oh, no, I have. I mean, you know me, Kaz. The Abyss, digital, day one, boom.
Well, that was just stupid. I could have given you the digital codes.
Yeah, but three anyway. Months later.
Oh, God. You're one of those.
Yeah.
All right.
But I don't do that for everyone. So.
Okay. Yeah. How much was The Abyss then on digital? Like roughly, so you drop like £15 for a digital copy of a film you really wanted, if you couldn't get it any other way.
Oh yeah, but then I've also now got the free code in the 4K disc I've just got.
Which oh God,
so yeah,
this is not how to spend money, people. Don't take any advice.
Just no savings, no pension, people. Just fritter. It's what it's there for.
Okay.
Money advice from Mark there.
Yeah, Tom, give us some better advice.
I think I said at the start of the year that I was I don't know if I'm jumping ahead a bit, but I said that I was going to stop pre-ordering stuff that I already owned, you know, just as habit, because I mm-hmm. was finding that it was a habit that was not always paying off, you know, and
your mortgage.
Yeah. I just, you know, I know that I like this film. I'm there's a new version of it. It's a new restoration. It's going to look better. And I'm going to go for it. I have stopped doing that now. And so I don't now feel the need to, I haven't got that need inside me that the version of the film that I'm watching must be the most recent pristine version of it, depending on the film I'm watching. If it is a film that I'm watching that I quite like, then I am okay watching the version that I've got currently. If it's something that I think, like, this is something where the visuals are important to me, this is something where the fidelity of the original is interesting or important to me, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, take for example.
Yeah.
Then I will now go out and seek out the most true, that's a stupid word to use, but do you know what I mean? The most authentic version of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I just want to watch like Sonic the Hedgehog 2 again, I like that film, but I'm not going to go out and find it on 4K.
Again, Tom?
Yeah, again. So, yeah, it's really got to depend on my own value of that film as it stands, as it exists for me. And I think that's probably the advice I would give to other people as well, like not to just assume that, like, you've got to get... I mean, some people just do always want the 4K. That's fine for them. Mm. But I think I feel like I'm not in that mindset anymore. And I feel quite happy not being...
Liberated.
Liberated, yeah, exactly.
To be fair, I can see that as well. I mean, I did feel very good when I didn't have to pick between the two Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, Steelbooks on offer for like 35 quid a pop because I read Mark's review. And I was like, yeah, no, I'll just get this on digital for a fiver months down the line, or just wait for it on streaming because I have a lot of the streaming channels and what am I paying for? So, you know, I'm okay with that. And I did feel in that moment that this was a movie, because I really liked Afterlife, this was a movie I would have picked up blind. I wasn't going to get to the cinema to see it because the kids probably wouldn't have wanted to see it at the cinema and they would have wanted to watch it. So I would have picked up the disc and happily so. But, you know, maybe you don't need to get every single one. You know, maybe. Simon, how do you feel about this whole sordid mess?
If I love the film, I want it in the best version you can get it at. So as I said during my chat about Witchfinder General, I've owned it on every available source that it's been right through from the very early Redemption discs through and up to the 4K now, and it's been better every time. And this version I have now, I don't think it'll ever be beaten. I don't think I'd change from it, even if it could be beaten, because it's so good. And if there's a film out there that I love, then I'd want to get it and see it as best as it can. The Wild Bunch was to come out. I've got that in I don't know how many versions upstairs. If that was to come out tomorrow,
I'm gonna get the Wild Bunch. Yeah,
yeah. You know.
It just depends how many of those films you love you have.
Yeah,
because I've probably
whether
got
or not
a lot.
I would buy it if it was to come out in the States and I got it, and then it was to come out in the UK, slightly different version with maybe a couple of extras on it. I don't know that I'd double dip in that sense.
Yes, which is interesting because that's the next question.
Okay,
that is that.
Has a better image, maybe. Because I have done that. I did that with Straw Dogs when that came out on Blu-ray oh, one of it was a few of years ago now.
Well, we did it on DVD and we did it on Blu-ray, but 4K is quite an ask. That's why I was surprised at myself for having done it on Cliffhanger without me knowing. So I don't know when that happened, but I guess it's the time difference.
I think the crappy bit now on this particular one is you just don't know whether or not the double dips are horribly cynical or not. So take the last batch of those Sony 4K steelbooks, Bridge on the River Kwai, Roland Emmerich Godzilla, Black Hawk Down, that were released in steelbook only, tick extra cheddar. And the only difference was they had a Dolby Vision encode as opposed to the HDR10.
And didn't it make a difference, though, to Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Did they do it? And I think they did it with Labyrinth as well. You're right. So Sony have got form. For me, I'm rocking a projector, so I don't get Dolby.
You don't notice it.
So
see, I noticed it.
Any of that?
I liked Cliffhanger. Not that that's part of this, but it's the same Dolby Vision argument. I liked Cliffhanger, but I noticed a difference. A difference enough for me to go, yeah, this is what it should have looked like.
Yeah, but you didn't realize when you got it. If would you have gone, hang on, I've already got Cliffhanger in HDR10. You're right. I am going to pick up the Cliffhanger in Dolby Vision.
No, you're right. But the frustrating thing about it is once you know, it's really hard to
not.
It's really hard to go back, because like if you said to me when I had the first version, I was perfectly happy with that. I enjoyed it. But once I'd seen the other version, there's no way I'd go back. And if I could impart that information to people who hadn't got, you know, by way of a review, then I would do, but unfortunately I can't. So would you ever double dip on a 4K was a question we put to the general public. And 52% said no, one 4K copy is fine. 36% said maybe, and 10% said yes, upgrades are great.
But it has to be value, it has to be worth it. It's difficult.
Well, I put in the question, if it was re-released with an even better presentation, upgraded soundtrack, and even more extras, so it's quite then specific.
Yes. Then yes.
Well, you're saying then yes, but only 52%. I mean, 52% said no. It's interesting. Even with all of those things, still no. Still no. And I can kind of see why, for like 25, 30 quid. What?
I mean, again, I think, to agree with Sai, it would depend on that level of upgrade. If it's literally, oh, you're getting an original theatrical mono track, which you didn't have, you're getting a Dolby Vision grade instead of the HDR10 grade, and you're getting an extra 20-minute featurette. If those were reasons for upgrade, the answer would be no. But if we're talking a bare-bones, fairly rough presentation that is suddenly getting released in a 7-disc, art card-laden, full-on restoration type thing, then the answer would probably be yes. So again...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough thing. Our next question was, would you buy multi-film 4K set just to get the 4K disc of a film you love that's not released as a standalone? Wow, that's a mouthful. But basically, I'm talking about the Columbia sets here. Because I would get Columbia Volume 4 for Punch Drunk Love only, but Mark promised to send me the disc, which he hasn't, I'm just saying. And so now I'm torn.
I don't want to touch it.
Oh my God. Especially after that Paul Anderson... Oh my God.
No boogie nights.
My God. I knew you'd go back there. Anyway, yes. Would you do it? And I think I have done it with some of these. Maybe some of the other Columbia sets. I don't know. Maybe not.
I think the Columbia sets are the wrong thing to use here, because every single one of those sets for me have got multiple bangers in. Multiple. So.
Not sure whether they're films that fit my personal, I need this in 4K decision tree, like Simon and Tom were talking about. I'm not saying they're not bangers. I'm agreeing that they're very good, Mark. I'm just not sure they all fit that decision tree. Ironically, the one that you wouldn't agree with, Punch Drunk Love, would fit that tree. If that came out as a standalone, I would get it as a 4K because I love the film. And I think it's actually visually quite impressive. But I'm not sure I'd go nuts for the others. So I think it comes down to what you choose. But would you? I mean, do we do this? Do we do multi-set? Tom, do you do multi-sets? I mean,
I haven't bought any of these Sony or Columbia or Warner Bros. I haven't bought any of these sets. I haven't because waiting it out so far has worked, and because none of them have had something in there that I have said, I want that now. All of them have been saying, I do want that, but I will wait, and they will all almost certainly eventually release it as standalone. True for all of them, but now, like, quite often, you know, for example, the Warner Brothers, Enter the Dragon came out in the box set.
Oh, yeah, first. Yeah. All of Warner's sets did, but none of the Columbia's have they?
No, not yet. But I'm
not yet.
But yeah, I'm going to wait it out because I'm pretty sure that they just will. They just will.
Okay. I like your certainty there.
Yeah.
I equally hate my obsessive collector's compulsion, which has cost me 3 Columbia sets so far, and I really want to buy a fourth one for one film.
I just don't think that, like, I can't... maybe I'm just too much of, like, a spendthrift to feel comfortable with spending money on a movie I don't want by accident. Do you know what I mean?
didn't they do a Monsters collection with Sweeney Todd as a surprise one or something? What was that one, Mark?
Right, yes, Universal,
Paramount. Paramount. It's just sat right up there.
Oh, I love that you've got it. What?
Set right up there.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I would be furious.
Oh,
furious.
He's going to go and get it. This is just... Literally, we were all mocking this set. How? We were all joking about this set. We were all talking about how ridiculous this set was. Mark, were you not there when you were saying this was a ridiculous set?
Yes, absolutely. Hang on.
What a terrible gimmick to release
Sweeney
a mystery disc.
Todd.
Oh my God.
Sweeney Todd. Look at that.
No. Why?
No, the reason why I got this is I was going to drop money on Rosemary's Baby, and then I had in my hand 2 of the others because they were cheap, and then I thought, well, hang on, they're all in that bloody Paramount Scares thing, and I hopped on eBay and I saw a cheap version. So anyway,
must have been like £2, but okay.
Sorry, everyone who was listening, you missed the show and tell there. I do apologize.
Oh, my God, I am still reeling from that because we all ridiculed.
No, we ridiculed the tactic of keeping one of the titles a secret.
Truly insane.
Because that was that was rubs.
Mental.
Where were we?
Would you get these sets, Si? Have you got any of these sets? The Columbia set, the Sony set?
I've got the first two. I don't have Sony sets or the Warner stuff.
Okay.
I don't feel the need to get. Which is weird because I've got loads of Blu-ray ones. I've got loads of the Hammer Horror ones on Blu-ray, compilation ones. Loads of them.
Yeah, but all Hammer films are ace, Si.
Well, yeah, true.
There you go, you see. They're all ace.
But we stopped with Hitchcock as well. I mean, how many? There's 3 volumes?
3, yeah, yeah.
We've done 2. I haven't got the third. Have you got the third? Has anyone got the third?
I've got the third.
Oh, Jesus, Mark.
What?
You're always fully. Yes, I'm a. There is a response here, which is yes, I'm a collector.
But hang on,
17% have answered. That's all you ticking aliases.
Yeah, but I watch these and I enjoy them. I'm not collecting them to stick them on my shelf. I've actually watched all the films in this Paramount set.
You watched all of the films in the Hitchcock Volume 3?
No, because I'm still partway through Hitchcock Volume 2. But that's because you keep sending me other bloody discs to review.
Yes, like Sweeney Todd and 4K. Would you be more likely to go for a cheap, no-frills release or a lavish, expensive one? X says, yes, I just want the film 41%. Maybe for some films, 45%. And no, I love Lavish for 12%.
Depends on the film.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, it depends on the film.
Yeah, I mean, it just...
Obviously, it depends on... It depends on the film.
Yeah, it depends on the film.
But
that's the obvious answer.
But I want to come in here on, and I think I don't know whether to come in here on this one or the last question, because it's about blind buys, but it's kind of linked between these. I'll do it here.
Go on, do it here.
So I'm lucky enough with the monthly top 10 Blu-ray stuff that I get sent a lot of really obscure box sets from the likes of Radiance, from Criterion, from you name it. And there's films that I've never heard of. I certainly would never dream of picking up. And yet I watch them and they're brills. They're fantastic. Yeah, the Franco Nero Cosa Nostra set from Radiance was outstanding. Yet I think we've just established, I'll buy any old shit, right?
Yeah.
But even I wouldn't drop, you know, the best part of 55 to 60 quid on a blind buy, all singing, all dancing box set for those three films. And I think somewhere we're missing a trick here, because I think that as handsome and as well done as some of these packages are, I think we are the cost of these is preventing people from jumping in and discovering so much of these new films that are being released, so much of them. And I think that's the one bit of the market that we are missing a trick on. You know, lower the price on some of these really obscure films that 99% of people have never heard of and are not going to blind buy unless the price is right.
Yeah, this is the blind buy question, isn't it?
And it's a little bit of both, because all these box sets are brilliant box sets, all restorations, so many language tracks, all the art. I mean, Tom, all the art cards even you could ever want, man. You know, posters, booklets, packaging. It's all on these films that no one's buying because no one's ever heard of them and no one's going to drop 60 quid on them. And
there's a fabulously sarcastic YouTube comment. If I'm going to spend the best part of £70 on a deluxe 4K version of a film I saw 20 years ago, then you better be giving me art cards, a poster I won't unfold, let alone display, a booklet I won't read, and house it in a bunch of digipacks which will become unglued or card sleeves that will scratch the discs. You better believe as well that I'm making a YouTube haul video about it. Don't forget to like and subscribe to tell everyone I'm really excited to have this in my collection, only to chuck it on the shelf, still sealed, a year later, the moment I turn the camera off. Yeah, I'll stick with the standard edition minus the tat and pick it up in the sale when the price comes down to what should have been the original RRP for that.
Bang. It's the anti-mark.
This is a quality bit of rant there. And I can see the argument for a lot of that, but, you know, I've got that stupid Leon box set, which has a milk carton in it. Yeah. It's got even a milk carton in it. Harlow. But I love Leon. Leon's top three as well. I only leave one spot remaining. I love Leon, and I've got, so we talk about double dipping here. I have got maybe three or four, maybe five 4K copies of Leon, and they're all identical. I've got like a American steelbook. I've got the Ardy steelbook one. I've got the big milk carton box set, never opened, on the shelf, YouTube haul. I mean, I've got them all. It's just completely unnecessary. But so maybe it does depend on the film. But the last question you answered was, do you blind buy or do you watch them on streaming first? And the answer is just a resounding maybe, which is how you go.
I will blind buy. I will also watch on streaming.
I think that's what we do.
Yeah.
And so, is it worth it? Depends on the film. There you go. Yeah. There you go.
But
did you click on that? Why did you click on that question? I mean,
it's a good job we spent so long discussing it, isn't it?
I think we got down to the truth there, which could have been written after it.
You know what?
Is 4K worth it?
I'm glad we're not just wasting our time. I'm glad we're wasting our readers and our viewers' time as well.
That's how
it's all about the community. Let's waste time together.
That's how we roll. Do let us know if there's anything we've not covered or anything that's actually worth covering that you think we should cover instead of what we do cover. That's it for the AV Forums podcast this week. My thanks to everybody. If you enjoyed the podcast, give us a like and subscribe. Hit the notification bell when we publish our live streams, product reviews, and more. If you really like to buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/AV Forums. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And why is it Twitter? Follow us on X and Facebook and bookmark avforums.com for the latest reviews, news, and videos. Plus, why not give us a 5-star rating on whichever service you use if they allow it? But only if you enjoyed the show. Thank you for watching and listening. Join us for another podcast.
Bye.
Bye.